so important to always put this in the center of what we are trying to do, because nothing that I preach would be from my own understanding of my own thoughts, but always from this book here, the Word of God. All right, so let's lift it up. And you know the drill, this is my Bible. Are you ready? Okay. If you don't have a Bible, if you just lift an imaginary Bible, it's okay. All right, just to acknowledge that this book is very important. Okay. All right, so are you ready? This is my Bible. One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Now, we're going to read from Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. So we're going to read it from the screen itself so that we all read the same version, all right? That's the reason for doing that, okay? So from verse 1 of chapter 2, Titus, let's declare the word of God aloud together. Ready? 1, 2, go. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So Holy Spirit, will you come and bring, Lord, to understanding this powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. And we pray that more than that, we will actually be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking into us, that even as we listen to the Word of God, as we listen to the sermon, Father, bring to light certain things about our life, not only to inform us, but to inspire us, but most of all, to direct the way that we should live our life. And all God's children say, amen, amen. Please be seated. So we are continuing on in the series on family matters. And so from Mother's Day, we'll move on now to talk about honoring our parents, which is two in this series here. And next weekend, we'll be talking about honoring our aged parents, which I think it's time to talk about that, even as a church. But this weekend, I believe that some of you here are here simply because of this subject. Okay? The subject matter is senior people, the future of our church. I'm very tempted to ask you, how many of you here because of this subject? All right, if you are in that age group called senior people. But before those who are the not senior people, don't switch off your mind yet, okay? Because it's very important for you to listen to this message as well. So the purpose of this short series is to begin, right, I know it doesn't answer everything, but to begin a conversation with us as a church about the issue of aging. Now, we don't like that word, right? I know ladies hate that word, okay? And that's why the cosmetic industry is huge, right? But I think we need to talk about the issue of aging. Let me add to that, to age graciously. Right. How do we age graciously? Aging is not a bad word. The second half of our lives, I'm living in the second half of my life right now. The second half of our lives can be the most exciting, and I can tell you why. Because we live the first half of our life in order to live the second half better. Let me repeat that. We live the first half of our life learning how to live the second half better. And that is why I believe the second half of our life is the most exciting part of our lives. So I live with much hope, although I've entered into that age group now, but I'm really excited about the years ahead of me. Do you know there is a prayer of the elderly in the Word of God? Have you discovered that? The prayer of the elderly? No? So let me point out to you, Psalm 71 is a prayer of the elderly, 17 to 18. Psalm 71, 17 to 18, it says there. Now all those in this category, read it aloud because this is your prayer. All right, read it aloud together with me. Pray together with me. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. So there you go. This is a prayer of the elderly, right? For the senior people. Now the psalmist, the person who wrote this, have come to the last lap of his life. Now in his senior years, you notice the subject, the content of his prayer. He wanted to be vigilant still in his life. He's telling God, Lord, don't forsake me, God. You know why he said, don't forsake me? Because he realized that he cannot afford any mistakes in this stage of his life. Why is it that he cannot afford any mistake, much mistake, all right? We know we all are not perfect in any way. But as we grow older, we cannot afford too many mistakes. Why? Because there are certain mistakes when we make when we're younger, we can recover. But certain mistakes when we make it when we're older in life, it is much harder to recover, right? And I think you understand what I mean. For example, senior people, I'm also talking to myself as well, all right? Senior people cannot afford a fall on, you know. Right? So when I come down from the stairs in my house, I realize that I have to be very careful. My mind is still thinking I'm 21, you know. But I have to tell myself, be slower, right? And I've been telling, my wife knows this, I've been telling her, dear, don't run. Not afford a fall, because if you fall, you can break a hip, right? You can injure a knee. And health is not what it used to be, right? For those of us in this category, if it's not the shoulder, it's our knee. If it's not our knee, it's our back. And all the senior people say, don't say amen, because that sounds terrible, right? And then the other part is that, you know, at this age now, we are beginning to see maybe our siblings passing on, our aged parents passing on, and our old friends are passing on. Okay, and our minds may not be as sharp as we hope it to be. And there are also feelings of insecurity, a feeling of loneliness, because now many of us now are what we call empty nesters. And sometimes the children you raise and love don't come back to look after you as much as you would wish them to. Not because they don't love you, it's simply because of the seasons of their life. Understand that part as well. And then not only do you struggle with insecurity and loneliness, you also, for some of you, you have to take care at this golden years of your life, you have to take care of your grandchildren too, you know, right? So the job is not done when you really ought to be enjoying yourself, right? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that for some of us, we are still having to struggle through this. And then some of you, not only do you take care of your grandchildren, you now also have to take care of your aging parents. And this is a reality. And who may have Alzheimer's, who may have dementia, and sometimes your parents don't even know your name anymore. Now that is a big struggle for those of us coming to this category of our lives. And that's the way life is. Right? So that's a fact. That's the way life is. Now it may sound a little bit depressing, but I want to assure you that we can live in hope. So I really appreciate the senior people in our lives. So I'm also appreciating myself, all right? The senior people in our life have gone through what I call the harsh weather of life. Life is not easy. And many of the senior people will tell you, I've eaten more salt than you, and I know life is not easy, all right? And they have gone through so many sacrifices. They have given up so many things. There are things that they rejoice over. There are things that they regret. But having gone through the joys and bitterness of life, and this is my prayer for all of us in this category, is that we will learn to have a place of rest, a place of assurance in our golden years. And so I use the word we, like I said to you, because I've arrived. All right, I've arrived at the beginning stage. You know, it's a privilege now for me, especially during the MCO, when I go to the supermarket, the guard would tell me, uncle, you can take that line. And then my wife would say, can I go with him? No. All right? So I will say, wait, bye-bye to her, and I go to the senior line, and I go in first. Right? And the same thing happened at the passport office just 2 months ago. When the officer saw my passport, all right, up for the renewal, he looked at me, okay, you can join that line. Bye-bye to my wife again. All right? And so these are some of the privilege I know that I'm getting to, especially when I start Googling, right? Benefits and discounts for senior citizens, Right? But then at the same time, I received a letter just 2 weeks ago from the insurance company who reminded me that I passed 61. I'm into 61, now going to 62 this year. And he said, your premium has increased. And I look, open the letter, 61% higher than the year before. That's terrible. Yeah. So my point is that there are so many changes at this stage of our life, right? So you need to be able to take it, right? You know, with all that you've got, in order to move on in such a way that it can still be the best years of our life. Now let's look at the demographics in our nation. If you look at the chart that we are going to project it up here, you begin to realize that in the year 2010, there were 5% were 65 and above. But when it comes to 2040, there'll be 14.5%. So in other words, we know for a fact that this is going to be an aging population in many, many nations, by the way. It's not just Malaysia. So this issue of aging become really, really crucial. And in DUMC, we are called an intergenerational church. Now, what does that mean? It means that this is a place where young people feel at home, and this is a place where the older people will feel at home as well. And that is why we are called an intergenerational church, a family church where everyone is welcome. So what role do seniors play in DUMC as they grow older? Now, we often hear churches saying this, huh? You know, we're losing our young people. Now, they're not wrong in itself. We're losing our young people in some sense. We're losing just by simple demographic growth sometimes, you know, right? Because they're lesser young people compared to the aging population of the nation. But it's a fact that we may be losing young people in many, many churches. And so we put a lot of effort into saying that, you know, the church must cater for the younger ones. And sometimes we say that message over and over again, you know what happened? All right. We need to repent from even hinting to the senior people that they are now less relevant. And we must avoid that. All right. I think we need to repent from that. And if you have in some sense caught that message here in DUMC, and I hope we have not, but you have caught that, I think we need to apologize to you and say, no, that's not what we intend. So what then do we need to do then? Should people who retire, all right, so-called, just step aside and do nothing? Right? Or let the young people do it? I don't think that's the what we should do either. So let's look at the Word of God before I give you some suggestion how to do that. So let's look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. All right? So let's go to the Word of God. What does God have to say about this? So let me give you the context of Titus. Now, Paul issued a challenge to Titus himself, okay, on the island of Crete. Now, this in the island of Crete, he's saying to them, the Christians there, you must match your lifestyle to the doctrine. That's what the book is all about, what the letter is all about. Whatever that you know of your doctrine, live your life in accordance to the doctrine. So if you say you are a Christian, live like one. That's what Titus is saying. Paul is saying to Titus, teach the people that they need to live like a Christian. So what does Paul mean when he says, let me start with the older men? So what does older man mean in the context of Apostle Paul? Now, in the context of Apostle Paul, the older men are those people 60 and above, right? So I did some research on that. Historically, in those times, it also means 60 and above. So in Malaysia, I'm called a senior citizen because I'm 60 and above. So 61 and above, you're called a senior citizen. So this is the definition. So in other words, Apostle Paul is telling Titus to focus on the senior citizens and shatter this myth saying, I'm too old to contribute. So here is a very clear instruction to Titus. Get hold of the senior people and let them know this. So you are not left out. It's very clear in the Word of God. This is addressed to you as well. So here is the big idea. My big idea for this sermon. The big idea is, God's not done with the senior people yet. And all the senior people say, let me try again. God's not done with the senior people yet. And all the senior people say, amen. All right. So neither should you. So God's not done with us yet. And there are three things that Apostle Paul encourages the senior people with. So here's the first one. Okay. The first thing he said, you have a role in the body of Christ. Every senior person has a role no matter what age you are in. You have a role. Though you may not feel like it, right? Because your body is getting on with age, you may feel a lot more tired easily. Don't fall into the myth that you're of no longer of any relevance, right? So you have a role, God has a role, and many of us have been lulled into thinking that the moment we retire, we can slow down, okay? Especially in ministry. So the point is that we do not need to. Yes, it is true that some of us have less energy. I agree with that, okay? But clearly here, Apostle Paul says, you have a role. So here in this passage here, he said, Titus, it's your responsibility to teach them what kind of man they should be. So addressing the older mentors, what kind of man they should be. Now, interestingly, this is what Apostle Paul is saying. Titus, remind the man, it's not about what they do first. Remind the man is what they become first. So can you become? Although you say you do not want to do. So first, become. So here in verse 2, he says, teach the older man to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Right? So teach them all these aspects. Now, sometimes I wonder, let me ask all the younger people here, what do you actually think of senior people? If I were to sit down with you, what do you think of senior people around you? Not just about the church, about senior people in general around you. What would your view be? Right? And let me show you this photo here. Some of us tend to think senior people is like that, you know. Right? They have this senior people have this look, you know. Right? They have this look that say, what do you know, you know? And this look that's not very welcoming, and I hope that's not your view of the senior people. Okay? All right, so better turn off the photo right now. Okay? So, somebody who don't smile, who frowns all the time. So is this what God is calling us to be? Definitely not, right? So let's look at this passage here. What does it mean? For example, Apostle Paul says, teach the older man to be temperate. So what does temperate mean? In another Bible version, it used the word sober. So temperate and sober. When we go into the actual Greek word, it is actually the word moderation. It is specifically about moderation in the use of alcohol. Okay? Interesting. And then, but really, the heart, the spirit of that word is moderation in your lifestyle. Moderate. Not excessive, not extreme, not rash, or overly extravagant. So that's called being temperate. Now, why does Apostle Paul say that? Because as we age, as we grow older, it amplifies whatever character qualities we have as we grow older. Now, some of us recognize this, right? In the way we respond to situation. For example, if you are, as a younger person, is angry all the time, right? Angry with things around you. Guess what happens when you become older, right? You become grouchy, right? You become even more. And hence the term grouchy old man, right? If you have always been angry like that before that. Or if you tend to be very shy when you were younger, and when you become older, what happened to you? You become very reclusive. You hide yourself in the home. Or if you tend, for example, as a younger person, to have strong opinions, you know what happened when you grow older? You become excessively opinionated. Seniors like that are very hard to talk to, you know. They're so fixed in their mind, and that when by the time you leave that person, it's almost like having a very bad taste because you have no chance to even say what you have to say, right? And so you, as you grow older, you can become very opinionated. So here is Scripture now telling me, be temperate, be balanced in our personality, in our attitude. So don't use that, I used to be an angry person today, I want to be grouchy. No, you don't have to. Why? Because remember, the day we are celebrating the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is here that we may have the fruit of the Spirit. And God can still change us. So be temperate. Another word is used here, worthy of respect. Now, worthy of respect does not mean that we cannot smile, we cannot crack a smile, that we must be stiff. you know, the aristocratic kind of a stiffness or very formal. Well, I think there's a seriousness in our life too. We need to be serious about certain part of life. But we also must have a great sense of humor. And having a great sense of humor simply means that people who know how to laugh at themselves, right? And not take things too seriously all the time. And so we learn to laugh at ourselves, okay? And then the other word is self-controlled. Self-control simply means to keep our passions under control. So for example, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, it says there, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. In other words, it's not us trying to be self-controlled. It is learning to have the Holy Spirit help us to crucify our flesh with all our passions, all our bad passions, all our bad desires. So it is no accident, therefore, no accident that many, many biblical characters here, they started to fall in the second half of their life. That's a warning to us really, for those of us who are senior. If there are enough examples in the Bible that tells us that as they grow older, it does not mean that they are better, right? So for example, Noah is a great example. He got drunk and got into trouble, right? I don't have time to go into that story, but at the latter part of his life, he got drunk and got into trouble. The other one that we are very familiar with is David, King David. He committed adultery when he was not careful with his life at the peak of his career, right? It was so sad. Solomon, wow, another character here. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, flirted with all kinds of ideas as he got older. And not wise at all, although he's the wisest man, even as he grew older, he in total married, you know how many wives? 700 wives and 300 concubines. Crazy man, all right? And so in other words, just because we are older does not mean that we'll be wiser. So that is what Apostle Paul said. Teach the older man, right, to have self-control. So here, Warren Wiersbe says this, as we grow older, we are confronted with temptation that we are shunned in youth. But now that now looks very attractive, cutting corners, eliminating disciplines, and lowering of standards. Now, we don't have to look just at the Bible. Today, in our world today, we're seeing people in their senior years, right, fallen away. It's so sad when I see that they are not careful. No wonder psalmists pray that God will help them to be vigilant in their life. Because as we grow older, we can have a false sense of security. And then finally, older men to remain sound. That's what the word is used, sound, which means in Greek, in good health, in three areas. What are these three areas? Faith, love, and endurance. So here you see that Apostle Paul is telling Titus, teach the older man to be first, right? So if there's one thing we can do even in our senior years is ask God still to help us to be Christ-like. If you are thinking about the next many years of your life, learn to be first. So this is the first thing you can do. And then we turn now to the older women. So we've been talking about the men, but older women, it says in verse 3, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine. That's interesting, right? But to teach what is good. So this word reverent, what does it mean to be reverent? It means that it is fitting. The word, the original word means fitting for the temple or sacred things of God. So older women are to live like people whose devotion is to God. That's what it means. So teach the older women that they are truly devoted to God. And then Apostle Paul mentioned two negative qualities. And these two negative qualities are not to be slanderous. What is slandering? What does it mean? It means talk bad about other people. That's called slandering, okay? And not addicted to wine. Now, interestingly, why are these women becoming slanderer and addicted to wine? So if we look at the context now, we go to the island of Crete. Okay, life is hard in the island of Crete, very hard. We know that from Titus chapter 1, verse 12. And this is what it says in there. One of Crete's own prophets has said this, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes. lazy gluttons. Now imagine the kind of society you live in. It's a terrible, terrible place to live in, with liars, with evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. And in this kind of environment, you can imagine now, women face a lot of hardship. And when they face so much hardship, they become bitter, they become reclusive, and they escape through alcohol. And that is why they're addicted to wine, to escape the harshness of life. Instead of being good, instead of being part of a redeeming community, they may be Christians, but Apostle Paul realized that they need help. They need to be taught, all right, to do good. And so instead of standing outside and creating havoc by their gossip. So then Apostle Paul says, but to teach what is good in verse 4, he stated how they can be good. Verse 4, then they urged the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So here, older women are to behave this way in order that they may train the younger women how to love their husbands and children. Now here you see an important directive here to say mentor and disciple the younger women. So because older women, I'm sure all those in the senior years here, having had raised a child at home, you know, you have gone through a hard time. They are not easy times at all to care for the home, to care for the kids. Even my wife herself would say that I have 4 boys in my home. All right? 3 sons and 1 husband. Okay? And sometimes you love them, but there are times you want to scream at them, right? And you go through that your entire life. You've been there, you've done that. And then you have to stay to be Christ-like. And that's how God began to train you. And what you have learned, Apostle Paul is saying now, teach the younger women how to do this. Don't let them struggle through life alone. They need your example. They need your advice. So older women are also meant to train the younger women to be self-controlled and to be pure, to be busy at home. That's an interesting phrase there, to be busy at home. Now, this whole exhortation is basically saying this. We must recognize the importance and the centrality of the home. That's what it means. The home is an important place. It does not mean that the women cannot work outside. That's not true. Because when we look at Proverbs 31, for example, Proverbs 31 describes a woman who is not successful at home, but also successful at the work. So it is both, right? So don't take this verse and say women cannot work outside. That's not true. But what he's trying to say is that there must be the centrality of the home. So I understand this as I look at, you know, ladies at serving the home, all right? For example, just observing my wife, because I live with her, I saw this whole thing in the entire 34 years of my marriage. I saw that she was extremely busy in her corporate life, extremely busy. And she would go out early in the morning, come back later at night. But yet, at her 50th birthday, the kids would tell her, all right, in honor of her, to say, "Mom, thank you. No matter how busy you are, you always have time for us." When I heard that, I knew we have put the home as a central place of discipleship. And so in that sense, it's important. This is what Apostle Paul is trying to remind us. No matter how busy you are, the home is the most important place. And then he goes on to say, and note, to be kind and to be subjected to their husbands. And all the husbands say, now, don't forget in Ephesians chapter 5, before it talks about submission, what does he say to the husband? Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. How does Christ love the church? By giving his life for the church. So husbands, can you give your life for your wife before you talk about them submitting to you? Right? So this is the context. The context of the fact that, you know, the older women will model to the younger women what it means to respond to the husband's leadership at home. The woman may be a leader in her own right, and many women are, by the way, very, very capable. They are leaders in their own right. But when they go home, all right, they learn, because it takes a strong woman to submit to the man at home. And here, Apostle Paul is saying, there is an order in the home that we must be able to follow and teach that to the younger women. And when we begin to do that, in verse 5, he says, so that no one will malign the word of God. In other words, when people look at your life, they see that God is being honored. And so here, in a simple nutshell, older men and older women, teach the younger men and younger women to be more Christ-like. That's what it means, right? So the first thing is that you have a role. Your role is to be first before you mentor. So be, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you so that you will become the kind of man or woman God wants you to be, and you have a role. So what's that role? The second point is you can model to the next generation what it means to follow Christ. You can model that to them. And we see a glimpse of that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Here he says there, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. You see, there are four generations there. What, you know, Timothy have learned from Apostle Paul, teaching to other men who will also teach it to another, the next generation. And so here is the same principle of Christian discipleship. So we all of us are called to model our lives to another person. The question is, are you a good model or are you a bad model? And so here, Apostle Paul is saying, teach the older men and older women to be good models, not a bad model, because we cannot say we don't want to model. Everyone is modeling, whether you like it or not. It's either you're a good model or a bad model. And so I pray that all of us would desire to be a good model so that our behavior match the word of God, right? It must be consistent. So I can imagine some of you here right now, you're in that category and you're saying, wow, I came to Christ very late in my life, you know, all right? And I don't think there's a lot of things in my life I can show for, all right? Can I still model my life to a younger person, right? You may be thinking that. I don't even know what's the good that I need to tell a younger person. Now, this is exactly the scenario or one of the talk that I gave at Men Alive. And this senior man came up to me. He must be in his late 60s or early 70s. He came up to me. He said, Pastor, I came to know Jesus quite late in my life. I really have messed up my life big time. Okay, I don't think I even have a good story to tell, he said. All right. So I look at him. I say, no, you still have a good story to tell. He said, what kind of story? I look at him and I say, you can tell young people not what to do. Tell them to avoid the mistakes that you did. All right? And there will be powerful lessons for you. So senior people, I think that our young people today are not looking for perfection, you know? They're not looking for perfect people. They're looking for honest people. They look for older people who are honest about their life. And to let them know that I've not got it all right, but I'm willing to learn. And that is the greatest encouragement to a younger person. So remember, they are not looking for sinless perfection. They are looking for sincere progression. Right? You are sincerely trying to progress. So it's never too late to be a model, provided you do the third thing now. The first thing, to recognize you have a role. The second thing is that you can model. But you can only do this if you do the third thing. And what is the third thing? Is that you must continue to learn. You must continue to learn, have that posture of learning. So verse 1 of chapter 2 says, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. So here, Titus is now teaching the older people, and the older people must have a posture of learning, that I want to learn. If you lose that, okay, you can therefore not grow to be what Christ wants you to be. So it shatters the myth here that older people are too old to learn. In fact, you know, the inventor of the modern car, Henry Ford, says this. And he says, anyone who stops learning is old, whether at 20 or 80. Anyone who keeps learning stays young. The greatest thing in life is to keep your mind young. I love that, right? We should never say we are too old to learn, and we must continue to keep learning. And one of the greatest examples that I have is actually my own father-in-law, right? My father-in-law is my wife's father. He retired at 55. in the civil service. And then he continued to work after 55 until he was 83. All right? He worked in a corporate company. The company was so kind to him to give him time to come in after the traffic jam and leave before the traffic jam. Now, why does this company employ him for 28 years? Why? Because of his wisdom, because of his experience. They still recognize that a young engineer who comes out looking at the same thing a senior person looking at it can tell what's the problem. All right? And so he worked until 83, and then he only passed on at 87. So he only didn't work in the last, you know, 4 years of his life. But what is most amazing is this. He came to know the Lord in his 70s, right? And when he came to know the Lord at 70, he became the most ardent member of my church. You know why he's the most ardent member of the church? Because he will look at the bulletin of the church. He will look at next week's sermon. He will look at the passage of next week's sermon. And he will read the passage and study for himself before he comes to church next weekend. There are times that we did not put in the passage in the bulletin. He will call his son-in-law and say, "Chris, what is the passage for next weekend?" Right? And I have to give it to him. And he came to my baptism and membership encounter weekend, sat through the weekend, the son-in-law teaching him. He was furiously writing notes in the 70s. And when he passed on, my wife has a collection of his journals of his quiet time. And he came to know the Lord in the 70s. And yet he passed on fervently loving Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Right? So in his 70s, it's never too late to learn. And another senior person, John Glenn of America, all right? And John Glenn, this photo here, was the first American to orbit the Earth in 1962 at the age of 41. First person to orbit Earth. But at the age of 77 in 1998, he was part of Space Shuttle Discovery. Went up with a 7-member crew to space again at 77 years old. You know why he went up to space? Because they wanted to study what space would do to a senior person. But he took that trip at 77 years old. And therefore, you are never too late to try anything. So friends, this is my point. As soon as you quit learning, you quit making an impact. You quit living a productive life, and you will reach the end of your life a grouchy old man or woman because you lost a purpose for living. And that is why it's so important for us to be able, you know, to really see that the remaining years of our life can be the most exciting. Now, Howard Hendricks, a wonderful Bible teacher and theologian, he told this story of his friend who lived until 86 years old. You know, while he was in those latter years of her life, they would spend time discussing a good book. And when there's nothing much to talk about, she would tell Howard Hendrick, "Let's get into a debate to sharpen our mind." So here is an elderly lady trying to have a debate with a theologian. But she said, "Let's do that." And Hendrick said the last time she saw her alive, he asked Hendrick, "Well, Hendrick, what are the best 5 books you have read in the past year?" Here's an older lady asking a younger man, "What is the 5 books?" Because in order to be able to ask that, she must be reading herself. And then when she died in her sleep, when she was 86 years old, she has just finished writing out her goals for the next 10 years. All right? And this woman knows that she was never too old to learn. And so that encourages me. I'm only 62, I'm very young. Okay? And so, senior people, you are the future of the church because you are shaping the future in mentoring and discipling young people. And I salute you for the things that you have gone through in life. I really salute you because young people don't understand it until they have gone through it So I want you to know that you are very important to the future of the church. And God's not done with you yet, so neither the church should. So three things you can do, senior people. Three things, okay? Then I'll talk to the young people. I'm not spared you yet, okay? There are three things senior people can do. Number one, from today onwards, if you've not done this first, reflect. Reflect. Spend some time to reflect. Ask God how He can use you with all your lifetime of experiences. They are not left behind. All the experiences, all the wisdom you have accumulated, how can God use you? Ask yourself, what are your spiritual gifts? Ask yourself, what are some of the passions that God has put into your heart? Passions don't die when you retire. Passions remain for until the day you die. So what are these passions? Ask God not to retire you, but to re-tire, as in T-Y-R-E. Put a new set of tire in your life. So reflect. It's very important for you to sit down and reflect. Secondly, review. You need to have conversation. Have conversation with somebody. What do you think? Have conversation with a family member, maybe with your children, with your wife, or with some good friends, or with your CG member, cell leader, or even with your pastor. What do you think? Let's review together. What do you think I can do for the rest of my life? In fact, one senior person came up to me, this is about 4 or 5 years ago. He was just approaching retirement. Same question was asking me, Pastor, can you help me? Because I'm approaching retirement, can you help me reflect and review? So I told him this, go back and think through and pray through and write down your vision and your mission for the next 20 years. So he went back, he prayed, and lo and behold, he came up with 2 pages of the vision and the mission for his life for the next 10, 20 years. And so in other words, if we don't have this kind of conversation, we shortchange ourselves. So go grab somebody and say, can you serve me by having a conversation with me and talk it through? How can God use me for the rest of my life? And then you may have another conversation, and this is a very important conversation with family members, your children, in other words, or even your wife or your husband. It's a conversation about what happened when you are in your really, really twilight years, when you are not as immobile as you should. What then is the desires of your heart? And this is something that I want all of us to have a conversation when it comes to next weekend's sermon. I want to give you some handles to have this kind of conversation with your children. What happened at our twilight years? It's an important conversation. So reflect, review. The third thing is redirect. Redirect that all the things that we have been thinking through and writing down and looking at our passion and spiritual gifts. And a few things we can do. Number one is to join or start a ministry. You're never too old to start a ministry, because we still have 15 to 20 years now. We all have, okay? And I want to encourage you still to chase your lion. Chasing the lion is not for the younger people only. It is for the senior people too. There are some amazing, amazing ministries started by people who are in their senior years. In fact, missions organizations are telling me this. These are missions directors telling me, Pastor, do you have senior people you can send to mission organization? I look at him, why send older people? Don't you want young people? No, no, no. I think we need the senior people. Why? Because they have the experience, they have the wisdom, they have the know-how. We don't have to tell them what to do. The younger ones, when they come, we have to handhold them. But tell you what, Pastor, we need the senior people in the missions field. So don't think that you have exhausted your capacity. Even missions organizations are crying for senior people. So if you have never had such a conversation, maybe we should have what I call a coffee club. Some of us once in a while sit down as senior people and just brainstorm, all right, and say, what do you think God wants us to do? All right? Maybe I should start that rolling as my next project. To have just regular conversations with senior people, and let's dream dreams together. And so that's the first thing, to redirect. Second thing is senior people, don't just hang around senior people. Right? Don't just, I know it's okay for you to hang around senior people and you need that. But don't just hang around senior people. That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe go join a young adult group. Right? Maybe go and associate yourself to a ministry with the young people. See, my wife and I, we started a young adult group a few years ago, and we're still in the young adult group. Why? Because you know how to make an old dog come alive? Right? Show the photo. Right? An old dog comes alive when they have... Where's the photo? When they have young puppies. Right? You want to make an old dog come alive, just put some young puppies in this person's life and he will come alive. Right? So important. So join or start the ministry. Don't hang around just senior people. Thirdly, is disciple and mentor some young people. Go join Men Alive. There are some young people in there as well. Go join Women to Women. Be part of family life. There are so many things we can do in marriage, in premarital counseling, in parenting. Tons of things we can do. And fourthly, be foster or spiritual parents or grandparents, not just parents, grandparents to many who come from dysfunctional homes. People who need a godly father, mother, godly grandmother, grandfather. There's so much still we can do that, especially to those in the community. Sponsor some kids for their education. Have them in their homes, in your homes. Be in their homes too. And so I pray, let me show the photo of the grouchy old man. Okay? And I pray that we will not be like this grouchy old man. We will become the next photo. Next photo. This one. And all the senior people say. Now, having spoken to senior people, now let me talk to the young people. Okay, I have three things for you very quickly. Don't forget that the uncles and aunties in our church are the future of our church. Why? Because they have wisdom. They have experiences. You'll be surprised when you sit down with them and ask them a simple question, right? They can tell you from their experiences what to avoid and what you need to do. Right? And I remember years ago when we were in CPAC, Reverend Wong Eng Min used to come and conduct communion for us. A wonderful elderly, reverend whom I really respected. And I remember sitting down with him. Every time we wait, there were four services during the time in CPAC, and two on Saturday and two on Sunday. So every time in between services, I would sit down with him, have a cup of coffee, and we'll ask him all kinds of questions about the pastoral ministry. He's been in ministry for 40, over 50 years now. And I asked Reverend Wong, I said, well, what would you do in situations like this? What would you do in situations like that? There's so much wisdom coming out of this man that I really thank God. When he passed on, to the Lord, I was at his funeral. And I thank God for a man like this. And I thank God for the chance to be able to sit down with him and glean all the wisdom, to dig, as what I said in DMC, to dig all the gold out of this gold mine. Because every senior person is a gold mine. The problem is that the younger people are not digging to get this gold. So young people, there are three things you can do. Number one, get to know senior people. If you don't have a senior person in your life, apart from your father and mother, or grandfather and grandmother, although you can go to them, if they can be that kind of senior person in your life, you need to be intentional, genuinely interested in some senior people and say, uncle, auntie, can I sit down with you just to have a chat? Just to have a conversation. Oh, go serve in the Golden Club. Go there and serve the senior people there. Now think of ways how you can help them at home. And as you help them at home, ask them questions. I'm so glad during the pandemic, during the MCO, there were younger people who were going out on behalf of the older people to do their marketing, to just do stuff for them. And I pray that they will take this opportunity to have conversations with some of these older ones. In fact, this is the right time now. If you help an older person, now is the right time for you to go back to them and say, Uncle, Auntie, I've been helping you, never had a chance to have a conversation. Can we have a conversation? That'll be amazing. All right? So you can, you know, be that touch point. As a young person, don't need to wait for the older person to come to you. You can say, if there's a chemistry between you, can we have a cup of coffee together? I tell you what, that senior person will be so touched. You are serving them and letting them know that they are important in church. So secondly, therefore, comes to the next point, is encourage and affirm the senior people. Why? Because many of them are very lonely. Eh? Remember, many of them are also empty nesters. And some of them feel that they have nothing much to contribute. So let them know that they are very important. And can I thank you? When I see the senior people in ministry here, I really go up to them and say thank you. Sometimes the best thing that you can do for them is allow them to love you. Because when they love you, they find that there's something to do as well. And so, one of the best things that happened to me as a senior pastor of the church is regularly when I greet people, you know, at the door, some of these senior ones, and they're really senior in their 80s, coming up to me, look me in the eye, and say, Pastor, I have been praying for you every day. I tell you, that touched my heart. A few of them coming up to me, I know they cannot do much, they are frail. But yet they tell me that in their times and moments with God, they pray for me every day. And that is what sustained me as a senior pastor of the church. Thank you for praying for me, senior people. I know who you are because you came up to me and said, I am praying for you, Pastor. And then finally, not only get to know senior people, encourage and affirm the senior people, young people, realize that you will get old someday. You will get old someday. So do to others what you have others do to you. Determine today, what kind of senior person will you become one day? So look at the senior people in our church. They will tell you their horror stories. So you say, no, I will not go that way. And they will also tell you their best practices. And you say, I will be like that one day. You'll be amazed how that kind of conversation will grow you as a young person. So I want to challenge you young people, right? Go get to know a senior person. So here's the big idea again. God's not done with senior people yet. Neither should you. And I hope that has inspired you as it inspired me, because this message is for me. To inspire me to live my next 10 to 20 years of my life and to live it well, no matter what your runway is. That I learned from my father-in-law. No matter what that runway may be, you can still live in purpose for God. Amen? All right? So let's bow our heads and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us whether we're young or old. Because this is a church that God loves, the church that have young people, that have the senior people. And God has called us to be a family. And God has called us to learn to encourage one another and to minister to one another. And so I pray those of us who are in this category of being the senior people of the church, that we know that in the years to come, we have a place in this church called DUMC. And I want to encourage that. I want to encourage you to chase your lions. Some of it may be small lions, some of it may be big lions, it doesn't matter. It is what God wants you to do. If the only thing you can do is to pray for the church and you pray intentionally, that in itself is an amazing, amazing ministry, because the church is sustained by prayer. So let's come to the Lord. And each of us, young or old, what is our role? What is our role in the church of Jesus Christ? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the young and old in DUMC, they are so precious to you. And I pray, Lord, this weekend, as we honor the senior people of this church, that God, you will minister to them. And I know all the different senior ones have different issues, different struggles in their life, whether it has to do with health, whether it is to do, Lord, with their families, or whether it has to do with their significance. Father, so many different issues that an older person can be going through, but I pray that this church will be a family to them. That, Lord, we will walk alongside them. And so, Lord, this is what, Lord, you have called us to be a family. And so this is what I want us to do right now. All right, I know some of us don't like to reveal our age, okay? But if I can ask those who are 60 and above, right, can you stand? Because I want to really honor you and pray for you. If you don't want to stand, it's fine, okay? But I think as a church, we want to honor you. We want to say to you that you are very important in this church. You are the future of the church. Your role in this church is not over yet. And those watching this online as well, okay? I want you to stand. And you have family members around you. I want them to just pray for you as well, all right? So those 60 and above, can you stand? Because I want to pray a special prayer for you. And all that I've said about God making you useful for the kingdom of God, everyone will be useful when we intentionally say to the Lord, God, this is my life. This is my life. Use me, Lord. Okay? So thank you for standing. But I tell you what, those of you who are sitting, you are under 60. So can you go to somebody who is standing, all right, with some social distancing, it's okay? But stand with them and say, I'm with you. Can you do that right now? Just stand next to a person, all right? Just stand next to a person. And then we want to pray. We want to ask the Lord to bless our seniors in our church, that they will experience God in a special and powerful way. Can we do that right now? Thank you. Thank you for doing that, young people. Thank you. Thank you. And those watching this at home as well, do the same as well if you have your family members around you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's pray. Let me pray on behalf of everyone in the church. Lord, I come. We come, Lord, to pray the prayer of Psalm 71, which I read earlier on. And that prayer says, since my youth, God, you have taught me. And to this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. And so, Spirit of God, will you put, Lord, the spirit of this verse, of this psalm, into our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that as they stand before you this weekend, Lord, they stand recognizing that they don't have what it takes. Only you have, God. And so, Holy Spirit, will you fill them? Will you fill them right now? Fill them with a hope. Fill them, Lord, with an inspiration. Fill them to know that, God, you are not finished with them yet, because you have in store for them the number of years ahead of them where they can still be useful for the kingdom of God, from serving to praying or giving. And so I want to pray that, Lord, may they receive every good gift that comes from you right now. And I pray, Lord, that you will also sustain them with good health. And if they are suffering from ill health, Father, I pray by the divine mercies of God, Lord, will you put your healing hand and touch them in a special way? And so I want to ask, most of all, help their hearts, God, to be young in you. So that, Lord, they will receive, Lord, every good gift that come from you to be the kind of man, the kind of woman that you want them to be. And so seal that, Lord, into their lives. We want to honor our senior people in our church to let them know that we love them. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a clap and let's stand and sing this closing song as a dedication to the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, I come, I surrender. Glory I give my life here in this moment. here in this moment I'm marked forever, I am yours.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even as we come before God, we thank God for our lives. And for those of you who may not know the Lord Jesus, you may not know Him. But tell you what, when we invite Jesus into our life, God is going to give us what I call a new lease in life. God is going to transform us from the inside out. And so if you want to follow Jesus, and I believe that you're here not by chance, someone has invited you, or even online, you're watching this. You know, this is a moment for you to just invite this Jesus into your life. Just as all the senior people here invited Jesus into their life. And that will transform them, the same Jesus that can transform you. And so if that's you, I want to pray a quick prayer with you. And then you'll follow me in this prayer as I close. And then you make a simple prayer to invite this Jesus into your life. And when God hears your prayer, He will come into your life and transform you inside out. All right, so let's just come before God. And if you need to renew your life to God, you may have backslided away from God. Say this prayer with me as well. And I believe God will hear that prayer and do something new in your life. All right, so just pray with me in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, all right, in your heart say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, for all the wrongs that I have done. But thank you for your mercy and your grace. And for the cross, that on the cross, You died for me so that my sins can be forgiven. And I come asking, Lord, that You will forgive me and help me repent from my sins and live a life that is honoring to You. So I receive Your forgiveness, Jesus. The prompting of my heart tells me that this is the right thing to do. And I pray that I will learn to walk by faith, and that You will help me in my life. So Jesus, I invite You into my life. Make me a new person. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have said that prayer, and all right, those are online, there is a button that says raise hands. Can you click on that button? And that will allow somebody to come alongside you and help you. And those of you here, you know, if you have said that prayer, come and tell one of us here, ministry team members or pastors, that I said that prayer. And let us help you in your journey of life. All right. And those who need prayer, after I close in benediction, come up for prayer. And let's raise our hands as I pray a prayer blessing over you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a great weekend ahead of you.